is number two in a series of messages where we're going to be exploring an idea that I think is pretty important, but maybe a bit of a challenge because it moves against the stream of self in each of us. We are going to encourage, hopefully in this series, for us to transform rather than to conform with the world, because when we conform with the world, we become worshipers of self. And the danger of worshiping me, myself, and I is that is a very slippery slope. So we're going to have a base text in this series, Romans 12, 1 and 2. It's going to be on the screen there for you this morning. Again, your translation may read slightly differently. It hopefully all points us in the same directions. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And I do want to draw your attention to verse 2 for a moment there, that statement, that line, don't copy the behaviors and customs of the world. The world cries out for us to follow our hearts. At best, that is a risky proposition, especially when we consider what the real message behind that the world offers. And we're doing these hashtags, slogans, mottos, creeds. So for today, hashtag follow your heart. You can get on Pinterest, you can search endlessly and find page after page after page where you can follow your heart. You know, the danger inherent in that is most of the time what it really means is follow your emotions. Now, it's not all dark and evil, and isn't that good news? But it's a slippery slope. If we were to load up the church vans, and I know the math wouldn't work, but Jesus fed 5,000, so we get all of us in the church van, and we go to prison this morning, we would find a whole bunch of people that followed an unredeemed heart to the place that they are now in prison. And most of us, obviously this morning, you're not in a prison with bars, but it's possible that the following of our heart leaves us in a prison of behavior or ideology or anger or woundedness or trauma. So those prisons aren't always physical, but the heart, potentially, that Scripture speaks about, the unredeemed heart, can lead us to some tragic places. I'm going to ask you to reflect internally, no, out loud this morning. Is what is the ugliest thing your heart and your emotions have ever led you to think or do? It's probably not that hard to think of something. We follow our heart because it feels fun, it feels natural, instinctual, but it can lead us to some dark places. Now, it's not always dark and ugly. What is the best thing your heart has led you to do or say or think? Now, it might be something really low-key, like, I gave one person my last piece of pizza. Well, if that's as good as our hearts get, that's semi-pathetic, wouldn't you agree? But Jesus said He came to bring sight to the blind, freedom for the captives, to heal our broken places. And one of the ways He does that is by giving us a new heart. And I don't want you to take my opinion or my thoughts on that. It's 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. But the reality is the old goes, but we still struggle with the old, and that unredeemed heart is warring against our soul. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Well, who indeed? God understands the heart. And the danger of this is we can slip into woe is me. Oh, the heart is deceitful and wicked, and the scripture tells us that. But the heart that's being spoken of in this passage is our heart of the human desire, those emotions that drive us and pull us and overwhelm us. Have you ever had your heart say something that is entirely selfish, but it felt true? Our feelings are a poor barometer for reality. Because if you've had this experience, as I have, as you wake up, yesterday was a beautiful day. You wake up, you feel good, and then the day kind of, you know, winds its way. And maybe there's a point where you go, I just hate life. Now, if you haven't had that experience, please tell the rest of us the secret behind that. Because my suspicion is we've all had moments where our feelings really are pretty dark. But then think of a time also when your heart prompted you to lie or deceive simply to get what you wanted. It's back to that worship of me, myself, and I. And the scripture is abundantly clear that we need a new heart. Ezekiel 11:19 says, God is speaking, I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Language is pretty powerful in this passage because it speaks about an undivided heart, and we all have an undivided heart at times. And I will tell you how you know this. Have you ever out loud or internally said, part of me wants to, but part of me wants to do this? We are born with a divided heart. And until Christ takes that out and gives us a new heart, there's not much hope for us, because we will continue to waffle back and forth between those. And this text says, I will take from them their heart of stone. Now, I don't know what you have in your flower beds, but we have some rocks in our flower beds. And I was going to bring one this morning. It's still laying in the flower bed. But I could take that rock and I could talk to it. I could encourage it. I could exhort it. I could cuss at it. Nothing is going to change in that stone. And when the scripture says we have a heart of stone, it's a very clear picture that we cannot be responsive to God with a heart of stone, because we won't hear him. We don't have the capacity to respond. So God takes that heart of stone away, and he gives us a new heart that's living and breathing and responsive to him. Jesus said these words in Matthew 6, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where's our treasure? It can be found in a lot of things. My wallet is in the kitchen in my backpack because I didn't want it bothering me, but our wallet can be a pretty good indicator of where our treasure is, right? Then maybe you go, hey, money's not an issue for me, dude. I'm free of that. Well, where else might our treasure be found? In our address? In the vehicle that we drive? Have you ever, you know, really been pretty content with your vehicle until you got in somebody's newer, fancier, prettier vehicle? I know some of you are still coveting my backpacking pot that I showed last week. You need to seek forgiveness for that, because your backpacking pot was fine until you saw mine, and mine was fine until I saw that one. So where's our treasure? Have you ever been in an office? Maybe this is your office. The walls are covered with all kinds of certificates and awards and diplomas. I call that a love me wall, because I want people to love me. But the risk is, if that's where my treasure is I am subject to that much like I would be to any other idol. And I'm not suggesting we need to take those things down from our walls. My mom was very excited when I got a diploma, because some of you graduated magna cum laude. This is an old joke, by the way. I graduated thank the laude, right? So there's a difference in there. So I can look at that diploma and I can celebrate, but the risk is it becomes another modern idol. And if my treasure is in that, it cannot be fully on Christ. So I would like to offer you a hashtag. Instead of hashtag follow your heart, how about hashtag wholehearted in Jesus. And what if, you know, there's several hundred of us in here, if you're on social media and this afternoon wholehearted in Jesus began to trend because some believers from South Rock Christian Church began to put that message out there? And might it stir some conversations with our colleagues and friends and family? So I want to spend some moments in this bottom line area. This is the way my brain works, so you can pray for that any direction you want. But rejoice that God has given you a new heart in Christ. So we're not always an audience participation church, but I'm going to stretch you here for a minute. I would like you to turn to your right or to your left. You get to choose. You have some autonomy in this. And say these words: God has given me a new heart. That's pretty good for 9 a.m. on a cloudy morning. Some of you know I'm a spaz, and I'm very comfortable with that because that's just the way I'm wired. But often when I'm bouncing around on Sunday mornings, I'm either telling bad jokes, and some of them are. For instance, I put all my cows in an elevator. The stakes have never been higher. Some of you will get that later. Where was I at? Thank you. We can do all of those kinds of things, and it's fine to be funny. But here, ADD, sorry. If I'm not telling bad jokes, I might say, tell me something good. I sat down next to Chad this morning, who wishes I didn't say his name. And I said, tell me something good. And his answer was, God is good. So if someone were to say to you, for instance, tomorrow morning at work, hey, tell me something good, or how was your weekend? What if our response became, I am wholehearted in Jesus? Now, I put those kind of challenges and invitations out all the time. Last night after Saturday service, I caught one of our deacons in the back, and I said, hey, Hank, tell me something good. He goes, I have a whole heart in Jesus. How powerful to be once again anchored in a truth that has nothing to do with our feelings. I love Kansas. I'm a Kansas boy. But Kansas weather, holy cow. We can have at least three seasons in one day, right? And that's just the nature of it. So our emotions and our reality fluctuate dependent upon our energy and the day and the schedule. But wholehearted in Jesus does not rest on our feelings. Amen? Now, I'm not necessarily a world explorer. I like being out and about. But if you take a compass and you set it here, aside from the weird anomalies around the world, north is always going to be north. And so wholeheartedness in Jesus is always going to be a gift and a promise for us from the scriptures. But our feelings will not often reflect that. If you've been married a minute, you get it, for better or worse. Nobody wants to hear about that at a wedding because it's just all unicorns and rainbows at a wedding. But for better, for worse, for sickness and in health, that's a thing in a marriage. Walking with God, we need a whole heart because our feelings will lead us astray. Second, we need to learn to discern the source of our thoughts, feelings, and emotions. Is it God or is it self? Is it that heart seeking to lead me in some dangerous places? And to do that, we would do well to assess the outcome. If I follow this path of thinking and feeling, what's the outcome? That's one really good way to know. Is it honoring God or is it honoring self? And really, at the end of the day, who is our favorite person? Self. Even if we struggle, we still are hardwired by our flesh to think in a self-centered fashion. So how do we discern? Well, most important, I would suggest, is we go back to the Word of God. And we study the Word of God, and then we know we have a faithful yardstick to measure that against, because the Word of God is unchanging, and God is never going to lead us to contradict His revealed Word. God will never tell us to rob a bank. God will never tell us all kinds of things that our hearts, the unredeemed heart, will lead us to do. We also need to seek wise counsel, because inside of myself, I can convince myself that something's a really great idea. I need the newest flux capacitor 5000. But at least in my life, my wife could be this first line of assessment. Hey, babe, do you think I need a new flux capacitor 5000? Do you know what her answer is going to be? No, you don't need that. Now, if I ask a different question, sweetie, I want a new flux capacitor 5000. Well, her standard question would be, is do you have the money to pay for that? Because at our house, we have a little bit of sock drawer money, and as long as the bills are paid, I can do whatever I want with my sock drawer money. But the danger of following my heart, as I've observed, I can get the new flux capacitor 5000, and it will never satisfy me inside for more than a minute. We also, as we learn to discern, pursue this with a sustained effort. I used to use the word consistent. There's a danger with that, because consistent could be once a year. Maybe you visit the graveside of loved ones every year, Memorial Day weekend, and that's coming up. That's a consistent pattern. But if we are pursuing God's word infrequently but consistent, that's not enough. Now, don't go to shame and guilt, but to have a hunger and an appetite for the word of God, that there is a sustained pursuit of all of the insights that the Holy Spirit is bringing. And how do we know if it's the Holy Spirit's voice? Well, we go back to the Word of God, we seek wise counsel, and we purpose to deepen that relationship in such a way that it becomes more and more the voice that we hear first. And it will never point towards self, because the Spirit of God is always leading us towards God's glory. Isn't that powerful to know? Is we don't have to have some special word from God or some special insight, because we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, independent of our feelings. So let's audience participation here for a moment. Show of hands, how many of you have ever not felt saved? You've not felt saved. Okay. Isn't that the reality we live in? Is our emotions are all over the map. Salvation is unchanging. The presence of God is unchanging. But our emotions do not line up with that. And if we follow our hearts, that might mean on Tuesday I decide to be a Buddhist. Because at least if you're a Buddhist, you get another run at it. That's their theology, except it doesn't work. The scripture tells us it is destined for man to die once and face judgment. There's a lot of folks in the world around us that have all the feels. They're following their heart all the way to an eternity without God. And might it be important for us to observe in this space, God never sends anyone to hell. He honors our free will. It's a choice. So following our heart, at least the heart of the flesh, can be pretty risky. So third and final, and it really is the final if you could see my notes, constantly realign with your God-given heart in spite of or independent of your feelings. 2 Corinthians 10:5 reminds us, maybe directs us, we take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. And every is an inclusive term, in a healthy way to use that word. Every thought captive. God, is this you? Is it my flesh? Is it the world? Is it the enemy? And the more we purpose to take those thoughts captive, the more we realign with God's heart in us. Psalm 119, the psalmist writes, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Why do we study scriptures? To check off a box? That's exhausting. But if we study the word of God so that it's hidden in our hearts, then when our feelings are like the Kansas weather, we can come back to that center. If you are of driving age, you have this experience every time you get behind the wheel. You constantly realign. Because if you don't, what happens? you end up in some pretty dark circumstances. So let's get a little more honest with each other this morning. How many of us have ever seen someone looking at their phone in their vehicle and just hardcore judged them? They're a jerk. I can't believe they're doing that. Is it at least possible, folks, that we are functional hypocrites? Because we see them doing that, but we've never done that. Now, I even have a couple of friends that have some kind of cool app that makes it where their phone will not respond to text while they're driving. So they are, in fact, free from the sin of texting and driving. That, however, does not mean they are free from the sin of looking for the new song on Spotify or checking the directions. We live down on Greenwich. I was driving home the other night, and there was a sheriff's officer coming towards me. I was thankful that the lights were on top, so I knew it was a sheriff's officer. Think about that one for a minute. But I'm driving, and it's been a good day. I'm headed home, and he starts swerving into my lane at 55 miles an hour. He was not looking at his phone, but he was looking at something, because when I passed him, he was distracted. We all run the risk of being distracted, but realigning with the Word of God and His heart in us keeps us out of the ditch. So play along with me here for a minute. Turn to that same person or a different one and say, I want to stay out of the ditch. Now that's a whole line of thinking that may be dangerous. Lots of roads now have rumble strips. Might we suggest that the Holy Spirit could be a rumble strip to keep you and I out of the ditch? Because where does our human heart of flesh want to lead us? Into worship of self. And that is a ditch of really dark consequences. And sometimes once you're in the ditch, it's almost impossible in our heads to ever get out of the ditch. Now, the good news is the Holy Spirit pulls up. I've never thought of the Holy Spirit as a tow truck, but you can go with that for a minute. And the Holy Spirit says, let me get you out of the ditch. And there's no shame, and there's no guilt. There's just life. And then the Holy Spirit, because I think he's super honest, might go, don't go in the ditch again. Listen to me. And so when we follow the whole heart of God, when we're wholehearted in Jesus, we don't need to ever worry about being in the ditch again because we just lean into him. And the experience in our life is different than what we've experienced thus far. And wouldn't that be awesome? So this is that point in every sermon, message, talk, call it whatever you will, where it's kind of like, I wonder what's going on in everybody's head and heart. And the good news is the Holy Spirit's working in ways that I don't need to know. I'm not supposed to know. But it might be this morning you go, I want to be wholehearted, but I don't even have Jesus in my heart. I think Jesus is a cool guy. It's a good idea. He's a wise teacher. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So if you've not got that relationship with Jesus where you say, Jesus, I'm a hot mess. I love sin more than I love you, and I want to repent of that and obey you. I want you to be Lord and Savior. That's the most important thing you could ever do, ever, 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 ever. And you might be going, hey, I've got the Lord in my heart, but my emotions have driven me too much. Maybe today is the day where you go, Jesus, I want to be wholehearted and not driven by my emotions. To my left, there's a prayer room over here, and my suspicion is most of us haven't been over there because it's scary, it's embarrassing. What if people judge me? I would just invite you to not care if people judge you. Because we are only accountable first and foremost to God. So maybe you wander over there and you say, hey, I would love somebody to pray with me. You might be so wholehearted with God this morning that you just can't even hardly contain it. Why don't you tell somebody before the day is over? And then God is glorified and our flesh is crucified and we will be able to live wholeheartedly. So I'm gonna pray for us. And then, like I always do when I get to be up here, I'm going to triple dog dare you to meet someone you don't know this morning. And it's not that terrifying for most of us. Well, it is probably is a little terrifying. But if you just stick your hand out, use your name, not someone else's name, and say, "Hi, my name is." The body of Christ becomes more a place of connection and not just something we do on Sunday morning. So I'm praying you're either going over there or you're meeting someone. We have guards at the door. Really, we don't. But I would encourage you to take advantage of that. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, it seems most appropriate to cry out to you. We've already sung this morning, God, and invited your whole presence into this place. But specifically, I love those words that Holy Spirit, we said and asked and proclaimed, would you come? We are confident that you are here in the hearts of your people. We are confident that there is more that you have in store for us. So we don't want to settle for anything less than all of your counsel and presence in us and the fruit that comes from that. So anything that gets in the way of that, would you move it out of the way? Would you help us to take self off of the idol in our, or off of the throne in our lives and to focus on you? Do a work in us we could never do on our own. And may you be praised. We ask all of this in your name, Jesus. Amen.